opportunity tonight that we have on an annual basis to share shiurim and limudim on the inyanim of Taras Mishpacha is a very special opportunity. People typically learn it when they're chasanim, when they're kalas, and there's not a lot of chazara. So in previous years, we've talked about very practical. I'm very curious to hear what you spoke about last week, and I don't know if I can have a security clearance to be able to get a recording. But I thought that tonight, despite the catchy topic that got some people concerned that I was going to go off and talk about medicine, if you want to talk about medicine, you can talk to any other member of my family other than myself. I'm not the medical professional. I'm the one who Nebuch went for smicha and spent a couple of years learning Torah compared to the people who spent a couple of years in medical school. But we all are able to balance each other out. And that's really the most important thing. You need to know medicine in order to be able to paskin shailos, and you need to know halacha in order to understand what medicine is from a Jewish person's perspective. The Chasam Sofer has a fascinating tshuva in which he suggests that perhaps the biology of a Jewish person is fundamentally different than that of an Eino Yehudi. You can ask lots of questions. That can be a discussion maybe for another chabura. But the reality is that we need to understand both sides of the coin. The medicine shebo and the halacha shebo. So I'd like to discuss tonight the importance of understanding how sometimes medicine and halacha intersect. And a lot of what we're going to talk about is pilpul, a lot of what we're going to talk about is halachic, but nothing that I say tonight should be misconstrued as being a halachic opinion. For that, you have a wonderful Rav and a big Talmud Chacham who has been Meshamish Talmidei Chachamim and has a Mesorah that's authentic, which is something that's refreshing and unusual these days. And the opportunity to speak to him and follow up on these inyanim, you're welcome to call me, but you're better off calling him. Whether it's l'maisa, whether it's in terms of having more greater havana in the sugya that we're going to discuss tonight. Shulchan Aruch writes, the Mechaber writes in Sinekuf Pei Zayin, that when a woman sees dam after Tashmish, so that's a problem. We're concerned that perhaps the dam that she saw was dam nida, and at the time that they were together, there was some hargasha. Now, we're not exactly sure what hargasha is today. We don't really have hargasha today. But Chazal were concerned that perhaps in the time that they were together, that the hargasha was going to be masked by the physical activity. I want to take a step back. And also add the hakdama that Rav Willig always says this, and I think I've probably started every other shir like this as well. But the most important din in Hilchas Nida is Aseh Lecha Rav, is having a Rebbe that you can ask shailos to, whether it's an understanding Hashkafa of it or the Halacha of it. And there are going to be lots of questions that may come up tonight, but the most important part of all this that you can take away, and we're not even going to necessarily conclude with a Halacha L'maisa, but the most important thing is to know that you have somebody to ask. And if you don't, I would refer you to Rabbi Schwartz. And that's really the most important thing. A person cannot get through life, period, cannot get through life without any shailos in the area of Taras Mishpacha. It's impossible. And it's not an exaggeration. Things are not always as clear as red. And we need to know that we're not Bekiyim in colors, we're not Bekiyim in maras, we're not Bekiyim in... I'm not a Bucky in anything. But we need to be able to know that there are people to turn to clarify these shailos for us. So if a woman sees dam during after Tashmish, so if it happens three times, so she's in trouble. If it happens three times separately, then she's a surah to her husband. She has to get divorced. If she sees that happens three times with three different men, the Shulchan Aruch says, a tragic, tragic case, she's no longer allowed to be married to anybody. And the Shulchan Aruch says, let's say she identifies the dam as coming from some internal wound, and she wants to heal herself. She thinks that something gets irritated in the process of Tashmish. She wants to go to a doctor. She wants to have it healed. So there's a machlokas as to whether there's any purpose in her going to a doctor at that point. Do we say that she's able to reverse her status, the chazaka that she has? Or do we say that a doctor might be able to heal her? So the Mechaber says that if she goes to a Rofa Yisrael, to a Jewish doctor, who has a higher level of ne'amanas, a higher level of credibility, than a non-Jewish doctor, that she can become Mutaris even after these three incidents. And the Ritzbah quotes the Hagos Maimonios based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Asher Piyam Diber Shav, that we presume that some of the Umos HaOlam, some of the Eino Yehudim, we live in a generation that we don't have to go very far to think about this, what comes out of their mouths is not always honesty. And so if a person goes to a doctor, you can have ulterior motives. I just was talking to somebody yesterday where a doctor said, don't go to him. He's a great surgeon. But if you go to him and ask him for his evaluation, for his assessment, he's going to cut you open right away. So you'll go to him for the surgery once you get a second opinion. We have to be careful. I think I hope that from doctors, as we have here, are not so focused on the bottom line. They don't want to just, you know, have another tally, another chit on their belt that they did another procedure, but that they're honest. And so the Chaber understands it, the Hagos Maimonides understands this, and therefore the Pesachei Teshuva says that even if the doctors do the surgery, perhaps the biological reality might be different, they see things differently, it's important to go to somebody who's Jewish. Rav Avadia says that Bizman Hazeh, this really isn't such a problem. And the reason for that is because we have medical malpractice. Who would possibly go and do something that's going to endanger their professional career? You lose your medical license, you've invested all that time, years and years of training, all that money for tuition, and you earn so little at the beginning. Why would you bother throwing it away for the sake of doing one extra procedure? Somebody can very easily...
People do, unfortunately, do crazy things.
We know that, but they're yechidim, Baruch Hashem. Yes. And most people in this world are yashar. Most doctors are professionals. Certainly in America, we have ethics, we have standards. And we don't have to worry about rogue doctors. I don't want to be misquoted on there. Rav Avadia says very clearly that, you know, we can trust them because they know what they're doing. They're not going to throw it away. He says briras, the ability to verify independently, to go for a second opinion, supports the work of a non-Jewish doctor as much as it does a Jewish doctor. So the major issue of Dam Nachman's Tashmish actually is not our focus tonight, but a subcategory of it, the reality, the fact that we can address Dam Maka, and that is blood that comes from some type of wound. And it's very similar. We think that if the dam is coming after Tashmish, so it must be coming from some type of wound. It's probably not coming from Dam Nidus, especially if it happens repeatedly, so it's unlikely. But the problem is that we don't know for sure. And so the Chazal institute this restriction that she's not allowed to be married anymore because Yisur Haaretz is a very severe punishment. We don't want her or her husband or any of her husbands to fall into that. So the Mechaber says in Kuf Pei Zayin Sif Hei that if a woman has a makah, she can be told of a makasa. She's allowed to say, attribute it to something else. Right? Maybe, I don't know, maybe I have a wound. Why do you think that the dam that I just saw has to be uterine blood, has to be considered dam nida? And the post can tell us that it's so we can expand it beyond Ra Dam Achmas Tashmish to Dam Maka in general. The Beis Yosef presents a machlokas between the Rashba, the Mordechai, that goes Maimonides, the Sefer Truma, and when the Gemara says that a woman who sees Dam can be told of a makasa, what exactly does that mean? So the Rashba says, and the Beis Yosef quotes the Rashba, on that which it says in Yesh L'makah Ba'osam Makam Tolu B'makasa, so Mistavar Da'afilu Einam Argeshes Mamish Shehadam Shoseis V'yorid Min HaMakah. Even if she doesn't feel it, she doesn't see, oh, you know, I have a little scratch, I have something going on, I feel the dam coming out, and I know for sure I can, you know, be told, I can attribute it with 100% certainty that it's from that wound internally. The Rashba says you don't need that. It doesn't mean that she has to actually feel the blood, you know, person trips and they have a big gash and they feel the blood going down their leg. That's not what it has to be like. How would people know whether their organs are bleeding? We don't usually feel internal bleeding. So especially if we say there's no hargasha. So if there's no hargasha and we don't feel internal bleeding, how would she be able to be talib amakasa? So she presumes that she has a wound. She'ein anu tzrichim ladas bevirur. We don't have to know with certainty. She'esh lamaka. Elhi atzma hargashas bemaka. She understands there's something off. I don't feel right. There's some irritation, there's something unusual, I can't really put my finger on it, and if I didn't see the dam, I wouldn't know for sure that that's what it is. But now that I see the dam, now I can say with certainty that feeling that I have, that's unusual to me, that is accompanied with the presence of dam, now I can be told of that dam, b'makasa. B'nemenes lomar, and she's believed to say this, maka yeshli shesham yesh dam tola b'makasa. We believe her to say, we can be told that the dam b'makasa. Just like we say, eid achanem b'yisur, and we believe her to say that she's a nida, we believe her to say that she went to the mikveh, that she's tahora, so we also believe her to say, I'm feeling something that's unusual, that's where this dam is coming from. So maka doesn't need to be, she doesn't have to prove the fact that she has a makkah, and that's where the dam is coming from. Not now and not in the past. All she has to know is that there is a makkah in some area. She also doesn't need to know that the makkah bleeds at all. Right? If she feels something, and then she sees dam, she can attribute it even though she's never seen it, and the doctor has never told her, that thing that you're feeling is actually emitting dam. She doesn't have to know that 100%. Halacha allows her to make that logical jump. However, the Beis Yosef says, according to the Hagaras Maimonides and the Sefer HaTruma, that the only way that we can be tola b'makasa is when she knows that maka is motzi dam. It says the Beis Yosef, Aval Hagaras Maimonides kasvu perikid alf meis hilchos isuribia b'shem Sefer HaTruma de'isha sheyesh l'maka ba'osa makam, a woman who has some type of wound in her makor, ve'enu yodas in motzi adam. She doesn't know. She knows that there's something off. She doesn't know if it's bleeding. In bodekes atzma ba'osa makom. So if she's able to check that area, motzi adam, and she sees blood, in margeshes kishahadam nofil meharechem, or she feels that the dam is coming down, then she's tameya ve'enu tola b'makasa. So then she can't be tola in that maka. There is a popular, we don't have it here, and somebody, when they saw the title of the shir, called me, asking if Elizabeth would be interested in a bodekas, would be able to check a woman in such a situation. She might not be able to check herself, but if there's a nurse who has a medical background, so they might be able to see, knew what's going on. They can help her verify whether this maka is emitting dam, in which case she would be tola b'makasa, or not. A very valuable service that exists maybe in other communities. Maybe one day we'll have it here, depending on if we have somebody who's available and trained. It takes a lot of time and effort. But the Braisa says, "Nemenasi shalomar maka yeshli ba'osam makom shrimena yotzei adam." So mashma dafka kishiyotashi yotzei dam in amaka. Says the Beis Yosef, it sounds like you have to know, right? She knows that blood is coming from that area. Tola b'makasa, avalim safik la inatola. So not only does she need to know that she has a maka, but she also needs to know that that's the type of maka that's going to be emitting dam. And so therefore, she can't just say, "I have a wound somewhere, so I'm going to connect the dots." She has to know with certainty that this maka is the type of wound that's going to be emitting blood. The Rama writes in Darkei Moshe, quoting the Shari Dura, on that Hagos Maimonios, that the Rama modifies the Chumra of the Hagos Maimonios that says that she needs dam. What does he say? Dafka kishiyodas shadam zumin hamakar. Only if you know that this dam, it was originated from the makar. So then we can't be tola b'makasa. We can't attribute it to something else. But otherwise, we would be able to. But if we're not sure where the dam comes from, maybe it's min hamakor, maybe it's min hatzdadim, it's from somewhere else, some other body part, then we can be mekel. So even the Hagos Maimonios requires a maka that bleeds only if you know that the dam came min hamakor. But if you say, "I don't really know where it came from, I know that I have a wound, I know that I have dam," we allow you to connect those dots and to say that it's a svek sveka, says the Rama. What's a svek sveka? So maybe the dam came in hamakor. Or, if it didn't, maybe it came in hatzdatim. And even if it came in hamakor, the second leg of the svek sveka, even if it came from the makor, maybe it came from a maka in the makor, and so therefore, even though it's coming from the uterus, it's still coming from something else that's not hormonal related, and therefore it shouldn't be considered dam nida. When do you need a maka to prove that it was dam nida? It's only when the dam is coming from the makor, or the maka is min hamakor. Then you need to know, okay, that's where it's coming from. But if you know that it's min hatzdadim, you don't have to get onto the second leg of the svek sveka. So we have three hagdaros that we've outlined so far. The Rashba says you just have to know she has a maka. You don't have to know that it's even capable of bleeding. That goes to Maimonides, says, no, you have to know that it bleeds. And the Rama says the only time that you have to know that it bleeds is when you know that the dam is coming from min hamakor. If it's not coming from min hamakor, then you don't have to worry about whether this is capable of bleeding or not. With that, we can understand the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Sefei, Im yesh maka ba'osa makom, if she has a maka tola b'dam akasa, then we can attribute it to something else. We'll say it's not really dam nida. Vim dam akasa mishuna midam riyasa, and if this dam that comes from the wound is different from what she normally sees, in a tola b'dam akasa, then we're not going to be tola. So the Mechaber says that if she has a maka, then we're going to allow her to attribute it to the maka. So it sounds like the Shulchan Aruch is paskening like the Rashba, who doesn't, you don't have to know whether it's bleeding or not, you just need to know that she has a makkah somewhere. And all he says is Yeshla makkah, that there's no mention of dam. However, the Shach vociferously argues with the Mechaber and others. He says, if we need to know that it bleeds, Apol Pisha Inamar Gesha Sata Shadam Zu Hubambi Makasa. He says, we have to know which of the Rishonim hold that the Makkah needs to bleed, right? That it sounds like it's the Hagos Memonios. What does he say? Vahochachti, says the Shach, Shagam Harashba Modilazeh, that even the Rashba would agree to this. He says, you don't have to know that the dam comes from the makkah. You have to know that it's emitting dam. He says, even the Rashba, who the Beis Yosef quotes, who says that you don't need to know that it's emitting dam, they're wrong, says the Shach. The Rashba means that she doesn't need to know that it's bleeding right now, but at some point it had to have been bleeding, or it has the capacity to bleed, and so therefore you're able to say that's where it's coming from. So the Shach says, don't rely on the Mechaber, who says that any makkah is enough to be tola. You have to know that it has the capacity of bleeding. And even the Rashba, who is the most makil of whom we've quoted so far, requires that she has a makkah that's known to have bled at some point. So the Shach is qualifying how we understand the Rashba. And that's where Rav Avadya says that even those who want to rely on the Rashba, they want to rely on the Mechaber, as the Sfardim typically would, they can't rely on a makkah unless they know that it's proven to have bled. Right? So just because it's irritated, unless you see a scab or something of that nature, that doesn't mean that it has bled and that you'd be able to be told of a makkah. So if you were to do an internal examination and you'd see that there's some irritation, unless you see blood that it looks like a scab, you wouldn't be able to be told of it to that makkah. So we can't really rely comfortably on this kula of the Mechaber. So it seems, according to the Shach, that everyone agrees that we would need a makkah that has bled or has the capacity to bleed. So let's explore this opinion of the Rama together. He says a woman, we have to be talking about a woman who doesn't have a Vesus Kavua. Because if she had a Vesus Kavua, that would really complicate things. So with regard to a Vesus She'ina Kavua, she did a Bedika and it hurts. And she says that she now, after she did the bedika, she sees some dam on the bedika cloth. So she wants to know, if I feel this irritation internally, and now I see the dam, can I say that the dam is coming from this new irritation that I just felt specifically after doing the bedika? Maybe I did it too hard. I wiped the wrong way. It's very difficult, especially at the beginning of marriage, when women don't necessarily have the familiarity of how hard to press and, you know, there are a lot of bedikos going on because maybe they're a little bit anxious about how to do bedikos, and they're doing many bedikos, so they're not getting a clean bedika, and they're panicking a little bit. So it's very common that they end up irritating themselves more than they have to, and then they're going to see dam. So what does she do in that situation? Can we rely on the Rama to say that we know that this dam that she sees on the bedika cloth is from a makkah? So the Rama says, V'cheinim ein laveses kavua. She doesn't know. She did a bedika. So normally we say when you do a bedika, that's the most comprehensive type of checking. We say with chor and ustakin, you know for sure if it's clean, that means that the makor is clean. If it has dam, then that's usually dam and hamakor. But she's not sure. So who introduced the svekas? The Shariduri says safek minatstadim min hamakor. She's not sure if it's coming from some other part of the body or it's coming min hamakor. That's number one. V'im timtzalomer min hamakor shemahu min hamakor. And if you want to say it's coming from the makor, it really should be damnida. Yeah, it might be min hamakor, but it's not technically damnida because it's not the hormonally motivated damnida. Avlam yadua shabam min hamakor. But if you know that it came, even if she has a makkah there, in a tola b'makkah, imin leveses kavua. We're not going to be tola b'makasa if she doesn't have a veses kavua. El im ken yodas bevaday shemakasa motzi adam. Unless we know for sure with certainty that this wound is emitting blood. So this is the Rama quoting the Sharidura, who comments on the Hagos Maimonios, who holds like the Beis Yosef that the Rashba wouldn't say. That the Rashba would say that we don't know that the makkah, that we can be told makasa unless we know for sure that this makkah is the type of makkah that's going to be motzi dam. which is unlike the Shach, who is arguing against everybody here. So Rama says we can hold like the Shari Dura, like the Rashba, not the Rashba, which is both a Kula and a Chumra. What does that mean? It's a Chumra like the Hagos Maimonios. You have to know that this Makkah is not just a Makkah, but it's a dominating Makkah. But it's also a Kula, because the only time that you need to know that it's a dominating Makkah is when the Dam is coming in Amakor. Otherwise, there are two Sfeikos. Number one, the Suffek that it's Minat Stadim. If it's Minat Stadim, then the Dam is Tahor. It's not a problem if it's like a person has a nosebleed. Or even if it is Minat Makkah, it's going to be Dam Makkah.
So it's, if you pay less attention to how you're doing the Medika, you're going to get a better result. Because
it could be. But that's not a good bedika then.
Well, no, I'm saying it's a good bedika. You're not going to be able to determine if it's from the makar, from the studen.
Right, exactly.
By
if the motion is consistent, where she's getting down in the same spot on bedika after bedika, then she would be able to say, oh, that's down minamaka.
Or as long as it's a svek feka, if it could be from the studen or from the makar.
That's number one. That's topic number one.
Right, right. And then if it's from the Makar, what I'm saying, if you know it's from Dom Makar, then you don't have the sex fake anymore. So
right.
Depending on the accuracy of the Bedika, if it's less...
Right.
Not necessarily a good Bedika, but just accurate.
Right. So I thought you were going into...
No.
I thought you were about to jump into... It doesn't seem like a classical sex fake. Does it? Why not?
Because
the rabbi said so.
Well, it also seems that the second suffix is impossible to validate. How can you ever say that I know without a serious examination?
To do a serious examination?
No. That a person can't even do it. No woman could say for this ever that. I know that there's a makkah in the makar that is giving blood,
right.
that's bleeding. To rely on that as an option, I just don't see where it's going.
What you're saying is that the kula of dam of being tola dam on a makkah is impossible if it's min makar,
right?
Because you'd never be able to have the certainty, the beriras, the vados that you need to say this is the makkah that's emitting dam, that's causing the dam that I see on my bedika cloth. Right? I think that's what you're saying.
Yes. But you would need a medical test.
Yeah, there's some people who say you take a UV,
so it can't be what they're
right. Chemically tested.
Right. Right. I don't know how it
is. So the Shach writes in Sivkan Chav Beis that the Ramah is wrong. He says that he misread the Shari Dura. He says he can't be explaining the Hagos Maimonides. So you always need to know that a makkah is motzi dam. Whether that makkah is found in the makkah or that makkah that you're being told is found elsewhere, you always need to know that it's, you know, that it's motzi dam. If you have a bona fide makkah, if you have bona fide proof that it's mina makkah, then we have to know that it's motzi dam. But you don't have to know at all where it's from. It could be mina stadim, or it could be mina makkah. So the Ramah says we only need a makkah that bleeds. Right? That we have, you know, you only need to know that it's vaday bleeding if it's mina makkah. But even though, in general, the Ramah is machmir, it's only necessary if it's minat makor. The Shach says it's not true. Even if you have a case where it could be minat stadim, you still have to know that this is a bleeding type of makor, says the Shach. And the Ramah misread it, and the Svek Sveka makes no sense. That's essentially what the Shach says. What do you mean? It says, a Svek Sveka, and the Nod of Yehuda explains, a Svek Sveka is typically, so I have option A, or I have option B. You pick one. But what the Svek Sveka is here is it's either dam in hamakor or it's dam in atzdadim. And then if it's dam in hamakor, then maybe it's not really dam in hamakor, it's really in the makor, but it's from a makor. So it's not really dam mida. So says the Nod of Yehuda, that's not a Svek Sveka. Svek Sveka is two independent things, A or B, and then C or D. So if you have a kula of the first one, then you can say, okay, I also have a suffix about the second one. But here, if the second part is related directly to the first suffix, you can't call that a svek sveka. That's a little bit of a problem.
I mean,
it's the same suffix. Whether it's minat stadim or whether it's min hamakor, the question that you're asking is this Dam Nida? And then you say, okay, it's not Dam Nida. It is Dam Nida, it's Min HaMakor. But maybe it's not, because maybe it's from a Makkah in the Makkor. But you're still trying to figure out, is this Dam Nida or not? So since C and B are dependent on the outcome of A and B, they're too interrelated to have a Svek Sveka. So what the Noda Yehuda calls this is a Safek, Svek Sveka B'Shem Echad. It's something that really is the same thing. You can call it a Svek Sveka, but it's really contingent on B'Shem Echad. It has one name. You're trying to ascertain the same fact in both of them. And so they're too interrelated. You can't really call that a Svek Sveka. And so the Achronim, especially the Noda Yehuda, try to understand how the Ramah can say that we have a Svek Sveka here. So he says that if the Dam is Dam Minat Stadim, so what kind of Dam is that? It's like Dam that it's like a nosebleed, exactly. It's like, you know, a paper cut. But if it's Dam in HaMakor, then if it's Dam Nida, then she's going to be Tamei Legamre. If it's Dam in Dam Maka Min HaMakor, then we're going to say that we still have a nafkamina, because it could be damaka, in which case she's tahora legamre, but it's still mekor makomo tame, that the dam that comes out is still going to be tame. So that's what we want to ascertain. We want to find out, is the dam that's coming out going to be tame type of dam? She's going to be tahora anyway, or tame midrabanan, because she has this kesem. But the dam itself is what we're concerned about. That is really a separate question. And so therefore, maybe that's the safek, the svek sveka, that the Ramah is referring to. The Noda Yehuda says, don't tell me that the safek is whether, you know, the dam is dam nida or not. Well, number one, is it minat stadim, in which case she would be tahora? Or is it minat makor, in which case she's tahor, but the dam itself is going to be tameh? And then within that dam tameh, is it dam tameh, or is it the kind of dam that's going to render her a nida? Is that clear? It went backwards a little bit to explain it forwards. So that's a bona fide svek sveka, right? You have focusing on the dam and not so much on her own status. The Ramah is upheld by many achronim to say that if you don't know where it comes from, so we have two reasons to say that it's mutter. Number one, we don't know if it's menamakor or menatstadim. And number two, sorry, we have the svek sveka of whether it's menatstadim or menamakor. Number two, we don't know whether she's going to be tamea or she's going to be tahora, and really, it's damaka. No, the Ramah is. Let me rephrase that. I'm getting myself confused, which means you must be confused. I think. Is it damina makor or damina sadim? Is it coming from oso makom or is it coming from outside? And number two, even if we do know that it's bleeding, right? Is it going to be the type of blood that's going to be tameh? That's the question of the svek sveka of the Ramah. So the problem with relying on the Ramah is that when a woman does a bedika, and then she finds this dam on the bedika cloth, where it's possible that it's minat stadim, it's possible minat makor. So the Chavis Das says that if a woman does a bedika and she finds dam, so would we rely on this to say that she's muteris? A bedika is worse because it could have masked the hargasha. We said before that dam achmas tashmish also masks the hargasha, that there's some physical activity that's going to prevent her from feeling the sensation that Chazal tell us exists when a woman emits dam, that's dam nidus. So the same thing is going to apply for a bedika. So anytime that she does a bedika, we're going to say, you might have missed it. So even if it's going to be a kesem, even if it's not the type of dam that would typically render her a nida, let's say it's dam maka, but when she does the bedika, we can't be tolerant anymore. So therefore, if a woman has a bedika and she says, you know, it hurt, and then I saw dam, and we're not sure, is that ka'ev, is that pain going to be considered something that's a hargasha? Is a ka'ev like a maka, or is the ka'ev trying to mask the hargasha? We're not sure. So even if we rely on the Ramah to say that we don't need to have a maka that bleeds with certainty, the Chavis Das says that that's only when there's no chashash for hargasha. So really, this whole question might be very, very uncommon, because if it's coming up when she's doing a bedika, that bedika is always going to take her out of this suffix that we have because of the chashash of the hargasha. So lemaisa, if a woman has an irritation as she's doing a bedika, the only way that we can rely on the kula of the Ramah is if she goes to a bodekes or goes to a doctor to get that verification, to know with certainty what's going on internally. Person who could check.
Or she knows, yeah.
Or she knows. So that brings us, in a moment, a few moments, to a medical condition where she knows what's going on. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But barring that yidia, that brera of a professional or somebody who can check, right, we really can't be makel in this case of the woman who's just stand doing the bedikah.
Why are we choshesh that she missed the hargasha at the exact moment that she was doing the bedikah? It's like so...
Because we're so concerned about the Isser Kares that we know the hargasha doesn't have to be a significant thing. And it could be just that second, however long it takes to do a bedika, that was the hargasha, and this dam is related to that hargasha, and she couldn't feel it.
And are we talking about a woman who doesn't have a vesis kavua?
We're talking about a woman who does not have a vesis kavua.
So it's a completely different situation with this vesis kavua.
If she had a vesis kavua, then we probably would not be told. Then we wouldn't be told it, because we would say that is the re'ia, right? That little bit, we'd be choshesh. Let's say she's checking on her the day of her vesas, then for sure we would say, okay, so that little tipas down, that's the beginning of her re'ia.
Okay, so but practically speaking, women are, if we're talking about a bedika after Shiva Nikim.
Mm-hmm. Why is she doing a bedika after Shiva? She's doing a
during Shiva Nikim or you know, or at the end of Shiva Nikim. So that's not part of her vesas, you know, right. Usually. So,
and yet, we know that when a woman doesn't have a vesis kavua, that sometimes she could, you know, women start staining.
No,
towards the end.
We're talking about a woman, practically speaking, if a woman does have a vesis kavua,
okay,
then and she's not checking at her vesis, she's checking after.
Zayin Nikiyam.
Right.
I think we're still concerned that out of a low plug, we're just concerned that she might have, it might be the beginning again, even if she has a vesis kavua. But although the chazaka, the vesis kavua creates a chazaka, so it's not.
That doesn't necessarily mean we have to ascertain facts a little bit more.
If you have dam, so that would uproot the chazaka that she has a vesis kavua. That would be the problem.
But so the chazaka that the dam is dam nida, though.
That's true, but you can't argue with what's right in front of you.
But you're
so
right.
If I have dam. And I just did a bedika, and we know that there's a concept
only,
that she might
only
be masculine.
But it's only because she possibly missed her gasha.
But
and
that's a big if.
Coupled with the fact that she's vesis kavua.
But I'm saying, wouldn't the vesis kavua kind of uproot that random chance of the non-vesis re'ia missing
no,
the hargasha?
No, because the re'ia is what would uproot the chazaka.
But we don't know. But we only think it's a re'iyah because she didn't have because
no.
She might have missed her gasha.
No,
because she has dam. We see dam.
A
re'iyah. Once we see dam,
right? Okay.
That's a big thing. What Rabbi Bleicher is talking about. This whole shiur begins with the understanding that we have blood here, but you can't make the
you can't have a chazaka.
Now you're trying to figure out what is the status of that blood. But the blood's there. You can't say that there's nothing there. So that, you know.
But we're establishing the status of the blood.
Correct.
Based on a hargasha that she might have missed.
So if you're right, if she saw dam otherwise, we would say that she doesn't have that the chazaka is intact. But once she sees dam that's coming internally from a bedika, which we presume is the most comprehensive, authoritative way of ruling out, of maintaining either maintaining the chazaka or ruining the chazaka, once we see the dam, then the chazaka falls away.
Chazaka, in other words, chazaka as a proof is great until you have something that ruins that. It ruins the chazaka. Or potentially ruins the chazaka.
Right, the Hefsek Tara establishes a Maya Nasasim, that she's no longer bleeding.
So
but once
say,
you see dam, then you don't have the chazaka
anymore.
So why
do we have to say maybe she missed her gasha because of the bedika? We're
just
saying
that she's an Eden.
Why do we have to... If the
because
bedika
we're trying
so
to be
Tola.
Because if she's on day 7, we're going to try and do whatever we can.
Saying, but if you're saying there was a hargasha that she missed, then you're saying she's an Eden.
We're concerned. We don't know that there's a hargasha. That's what we're trying to...
Is there enough in there a difference between the bedika and her finding blood after she's with her husband? Meaning, like, the sfeik and the kulos only kick in the case where we don't want her to be in a situation where, you know, she may have to divorce her husband versus a bedika. Now, you're just Anita. Meaning, there's much bigger consequences.
So the divorce happens if it happens 3 times, first of all. Second, we try to find, does she have, is there a maka that we could be told of the dam that either he or she finds on either one of them after Tashmish to say that's where it's coming from.
Right, but let's say it's time three versus a regular Bedika. You would think that the Sfeik Sfeik and all these clues would pull them out, meaning they're both equal, whether it's a Bedika versus time three.
I'm not sure I understand. Say one more time.
When we're saying, let's say she does a Bedika and she finds a blood, we're saying it's a Sfeik Sfeik, or whether it's a Dadin, whether a Makar, and even then, right? So is that even by regular Bedika, or is that only what you, the case you initially began with, which is three times and then she's out?
Right. So that's a good question. So what we said was that is the primary example based on the Shulchan Aruch of Dan Nachmas Tashmish. But once we get to that, we're trying to be tola, is it really Dan Nachmas Tashmish, or is it Dan that we can attribute to the Makkah? Then we're able to expand it to other things as well.
Once you have a kula in one place, you can use it.
It's not just unique to that kind of situation.
Exactly.
Where there's much bigger ramifications versus just her being an Edom.
Right. Okay. So discussion, now we can get a little bit lemaisa. The discussion has nafkaminas for real medical situations, gynecological implications. If a woman has some type of infection or growth, women sometimes as they get older might have fibroids or polyps. So we need to define exactly what these medical terms are. So a polyp is a growth or a swelling of the uterine wall, right? So if it's actually part of the endometrium, and we know that dam nida is dam from the endometrial lining. So it would seem that a polyp would be a very big problem because it's actually coming, even though we can say there's a medical condition, it's a diagnosis that we can make that this is an abnormality, but still we have to figure out how are we going to address this.
What would you call a maka?
So I typically, when I think about a maka, I think about a scratch. I think about a bruise. If a woman does a bedika and her fingernail, scratches, or the bedika cloth itself
is bleeding from a maka, it's still endometrial blood. Why is that different than a polyp? If there's a maka in the endometrium, and it's bleeding, we said even in the makar, if it's from a maka, it's not dalnida.
Right.
But it's still endometrial blood. So why is that different than a
exactly
polyp?
Right. Well, hold on.
No, you're saying it the other way. You're saying why isn't a polyp
the same
as dalnida?
Yeah.
But I'm saying why isn't a polyp the same as a maka?
Because it's part of the
endometrial wall. And a maka is also part of the endometrial wall. It's maybe a temporary part of the endometrial.
But I think the polyp is
a maka by definition means it's an absent.
It's something within.
It's absent. It's a damage. Thank you.
It's
where is the blood
inside instead of outside? It's coming from the wall.
It's coming from the wall. I'm saying even in the maka, it's coming from the wall.
I think a polyp would be something that would be coming out of the endometrial lining.
Of the endometrium. That's what causes the dam.
Correct.
So it's different than a scratch. I don't know.
Scratch is something, I think, that's more internal. You'd have a mark inside versus a polyp that's inflamed outside.
Everything is internal. Even when the lining sloughs off, the blood is internal to the tissue. It has to be.
Rabbi Blanche is trying to explain a polyp.
Right.
A polyp is a growth.
Right.
As opposed to a maka, which a growth means something is added here. Right? As opposed to a maka, where something is diminished. That's the point that he just started. At first glance, the first probability that he's putting out was, well, how do I look at a polyp? It's bleeding, but it's part of the lining. Right? Not that it's a damage to the lining. That's as far as he got. Haven't let him finish.
But I'm saying, even in that habamina, that's what I don't understand. Is that if you're saying that a polyp may be considered damnida because of its location,
right?
I don't understand how you can start to say that that's different than a maka, which is bleeding because of its location.
In the way Rabbi Blasher explained it, his understanding of maka in his Havamina is not just the location of where it is, but what is it in the location? In other words, the same thing as in diminishment?
So the difference between a fibroid and a polyp, right? A fibroid is an inflammation, whereas the polyp is a growth. It's something really unto itself, and the body begins, and the endometrial line begins to support this new, what's the term? they like a cyst. It's something that's not supposed to be there. It's an abnormality versus a maka is something that's within the regular tissue that's bruised, that's damaged in some way. I'd say that would be the difference, even though both of them are are positioned on the wall of the uterine wall, but how it gets there is different.
Right. So the next step would be if a gynecologist scratches the inside of the wall, you would say that that's for sure a maka.
Right. So then what we started out with initially, the nemanus of a doctor, if do you believe a doctor to say, you know, oops, I did something that I accidentally or intentionally scratched the uterine wall, and that always requires a shaila, because you have to know, you know, is the type, what process, what procedure were you doing that happened? So if it's something that's normal, we, you know, Rabbanim who have experience answering nida shailas know, okay, that's the type of procedure that commonly causes dam, and, you know, assuming that it's not, she hasn't already seen dam otherwise, we can be tolav b'makasa or not. It's an important question to be asked. Just because a doctor says it, we don't always, again, just as we don't take Rabbanim, the Rabbanim don't understand all of medicine necessarily, so doctors don't always understand all of halacha, even if they're from Erlich doctors, and they have a lot of background in halacha. So perhaps there should be a difference between fibroids and polyps, right? Fibroids, we said, was the inflammation, and the polyp really could be considered a maka, because the uterine muscle itself is bleeding, and the fibroid is an irritation that causes the endometrium to bleed. That should be considered damnida, even though it's caused by different things, the result is going to be the same. And so Rabbi Forst, in his Sefer and Hilchos Nida, disagrees with the Tzitz Eliezer in Chelek Yitzayin Teshuvah Yitzayin, where he is writing to Rav David Cohn. And he says that the Tzitz Eliezer says that we should be makil. So we don't always hold the Tzitz Eliezer in this town, but who says that we can be makil after either one of them? Right? The Rashba, the Hagos. That got my money. It's true. When I was in yeshiva, there was no Tzitz Eliezer in the Beis Medrash. I think that was a recent addition to the rival Beis Medrash. I remember Rabbi Parnas was once looking for one, and it wasn't there. So if you look in the Gemara, you look in the Rishonim, you look in the Achronim, it never says the Dam Maka depends on the nature of the Maka. You know, it depends on whether it's a growth or whether it's a scratch. There's no Chakira like that in the Gemara. So as long as you have a Maka, the Tzitz Eliezer says, and it does make a lot of sense, we should be makil. Anything that's not the normal flow, even if it's not a biologically driven flow, right, is still going to be considered damakar. Shlomo Zalman is quoted as saying this as well in Nishmas Avram, in Kuf Pei Zayin, page 81, that blood, even if the blood flows from the very same blood vessels that cause a woman to become a nida, if the cause is a wound, the woman's going to be tahora. So what do we do? Are polyps and our fibroids going to be considered damnida or not? So it would seem that they are. And the fact that the Gemara, the Rishonim, the Achronim all do not differentiate about dam and hamakor with any qualification. So Rabbi Forst is machmir. And others say, like the Tzitz Eliezer and Rosh Hashanah, that we should be makil because, you know, you should always consult with your local Orthodox rabbi. But it seems to be that this is a classical case of dam maka. So Marino Rabbeinu Rav Shachter quotes the Ragachav Ragon. He says the hargasha means, right, you want to understand what is hargasha, that we're thinking that we missed it in the context of a bedika. The hargasha means that the body is pushing out the dam. So here, anything else, if it comes without the body pushing it out, if it comes because of a fibroid, it comes from a polyp, that's not the body pushing it out, that's the body fighting this abnormality that exists internally, and that's just going to be considered a kesem, which is going to render her a nida midrabanan, but not midra araisa. So Lamaisi says it's always a kesem. The dam shaba shaloba hargasha is going to be tamim midrabanan. Rav Willig Shlita also, Haskins like Rav Shachter, he's choshish for Rav Shachter, and stakes out this middle position that we can say that it's tahar legamre, that she's totally mutares. We can't say that she's asura lebaila, that she's totally temeya, and so rather we say it's a kesem. What's the nafkamina of that middle position? We say that she can benefit from the kulos that we have of a kesem midrabanan. She can wear tzivonim, she can wear colored garments, this way we're not going to render her a nida. She can, if she sees it on something that's not mekabel tuma, it's not going to be a problem. And so therefore, we have kulos available that if she knows that this is a problem, there are ways of avoiding it, or at least remaining tahora if she knows that she has this medical condition. There's a similar case of what happens if the placenta is misplaced and the woman begins to bleed a little bit. That's also, it comes from the uterus, but it's not from, you know, the regular biological process. So in that case, or in a case where she has fibroids or polyps, how does she ever become tahora if she has a constant? When it gets to be very bad, you know, prior, usually at this point the doctor will recommend surgery or they'll cauterize it. But before that point, when it gets really bad, so how is she ever going to become tahora again? So we know that Rav Moshe typically says that a woman, after she bathes, has to wait about 15 minutes after she bathes before doing a bedika, because otherwise, if she does the bedika right after she takes a bath, so of course it's going to come out, unless she's bleeding heavily, which in which case she should probably be in the hospital or consult a doctor immediately. She can wait a couple of minutes before she's going to see Dom again. So he says that you're not fooling anybody. If you do a bedika at that point, it's not a good bedika. The whole point of a bedika is to check, am I bleeding, am I not bleeding? Is there Dom or not? And if you just bathe yourself, there's obviously not going to be any Dom at that point. But there are posts who say that that's for most people. But if you're talking about somebody who can't get a clean bedika, that they'll wait even 10 minutes, they're going to lose it. So there, since Eliezer suggests that a person should do a bedika within a couple of minutes after bathing, let them get, not the kind of way that we would like, but typically Rav Moshe might even say, if he brought the shaila to him, what she's supposed to do. So maybe for her, in a very bedievit kind of situation, that she should do a bedika right away. And the rest of the time, she should wear tzivonim, and she should, to be able to avoid the ksamim, that would all otherwise render her nida midrabanan. So we've had an opportunity to discuss a little bit of the intersection of medicine and halacha, but really the purpose of to be able to identify, you know, how a person can avoid becoming a nida, if with a vesa sheino kavua, that we can be told that we don't immediately say, just because we see dam, we're going to render you nida. And Mir Tashem, we should all be zocha to have not just the greater havana of nidos, but to be able to understand and to implement the kedarim that we have when it comes to a kesem, that we should be able to, the whole institution of kesamim was because they had kadshim, and we were concerned about whether the dam is nidam midaraisa or midrabanan. We're not sensitive to this anymore, but in Yerzeh Hashem, through our learning together and our greater understanding, which should have a hashpa on our shalom bayis in general, and as we support husband and wife together, that we should be zocha to implement to make this lamaisa without the medical shilas of any fibroids or polyps, but only for simchas and yirtzah.
I want to thank Rabbi Gleishi. You got to hear exactly.